Hey, Go Church family. I'm Elia, and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi, everyone.
And Antoine.
Hi, hi.
The special guest for this month.
I'm really enjoying.
Yeah,
I'm
we're so enjoying Antoine. We're glad that he's coming to, like, I believe the best part of this month that, like, really I see on in Antoine that we are talking about is joy.
Yes.
Which we're coming to, like, to talk about it next week. But with Antoine, you have to live it all weeks, all days. Like,
it's the joy of the Lord.
Yeah. So the Bible says, mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life. With Antoine, you can add joy into
yes.
it.
That's great.
So the purpose of this month's series is that we want the entire Go Church family to know that in Christ, we have been established into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
This is not only where we are going after we die, but where we live from when we are born again.
Thank God.
The kingdom of God is in mm-hmm. us. And I would love, like, for us to take a minute and make this a confession and make it personal. The kingdom of God is in me.
The kingdom of God is in me.
Yes, it is in me and must always operating through me into the world.
Yes. Yeah.
When we learn how to live for the kingdom of God while we are on earth, we are helping others come into contact with the presence of God and the environment of heaven.
Yeah. Praise God.
And I thank the Lord for putting me in the right place. I've dreamt about to be like in Go Church. Go Church is my place.
Praise the Lord.
And I love my family. I love you
Glory
guys.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
But it's funny, the way you said that, it makes me think of the way Paul talked about himself. You know, Paul, in one passage, we'll probably talk about this next week, he describes himself as a happy man. But he... And when he said that, he was wearing chains, testifying about yeah. the gospel. But he said, I count myself happy and I thank God. I thank God that he placed me in his
because
kingdom.
Because he knows where yeah. he stands. He is in yeah. the kingdom, in exactly. the right kingdom. That's yeah. why even those chains are... Nothing. This is like a deviation, but that's not happening. His real place is the kingdom of
yeah.
God.
Yeah, and you know, this is the part that we talked in the introduction week when we mentioned the part about fellowship. So when I know that I'm fellowshipping with God, to make it practical mm-hmm. with like normal people, when I fellowship with people, when I know that I have the same vision as mm-hmm. they have, I'm walking with them in the right direction. And, like, I'm 100% sure that this is the place for me. This is, like, where I have to be. I'll be happy all the time. I'll just walk no matter what will happen.
Yes.
And this is when, like, how much more when we fellowship with God. We know that His purposes is our purposes. His plans are our plans. His vision is my vision. So I would be, like, just walking in peace.
Yes.
Enjoy all the days. Knowing that he had my back.
This brings us to peace,
yeah.
state of peace, being at peace with the Lord and everyone.
Yeah. yeah. And that's our key scripture. Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about here, Romans chapter 14.
Yeah.
Paul said that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, not rituals, yeah. rules, observances.
Yeah.
No, it's righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And last week we talked about righteousness. Mm-hmm. We said that having a revelation of righteousness is critical to kingdom living
yeah.
because first, it's how God sees me.
That's right.
It needs to be how I see me.
Yeah.
And that affects the way then I interact with and respond to the world yeah. around me.
You know, even if I don't see myself that, I should at least speak that about myself. Because as we said, our words have power. So I can change me
yes,
by my words.
Indeed.
As we talked last month, that like the greatest miracle that a person can live is the new birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened when I speak,
yeah.
when I say, when I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So actually, my words has created my new spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So my words are able to change my character. My words are able to change the way I behave with people, mm-hmm. The way I speak, the way I act, the way I react as well, not just I act. So even if I don't see myself that way, even if there is no evidence for that, at least I should confess that about myself. Because if I'm saying, oh, I need to be that, but I'm speaking the other way, yeah, I'm not going to move forward.
And this stops us from worrying.
Yeah.
This yes. worrying issue is that's quite right. something. Because if you start like being worrying and what if, the what if and what will happen.
Yeah.
But, so this is deception.
This is deception. So, it's the doorway to it.
So like you said, to put ourselves in line with the Holy Spirit, starting with the Word. So this is where we stand.
That's right.
And we continue upon this and we move forward. And this is growth, actually. And this will spread out to yeah. to the others.
Yeah. And actually, like, to the point of that, I remember, like, Pastor Sam in the camp meeting, he said something. The first enemy for our faith, or the enemy for our faith, is our sight.
Yes.
So, and this is, I believe, the point, because in the Bible it says we walk by faith and not by sight. So the enemy of faith is sight. And he said, I'm going to see something. That thing that I'm seeing, it will bring doubt to my heart. But this doubt have no place, actually, unless I verbalize this doubt. So we see that the power is in our words. So when I spoke this doubt became a truth for me. This is when, like, it became physically, when it happened physically, when I verbalized this doubt.
So I not to cut you off, yeah? but that underlines why it's important to build. You started by saying, let's make this a confession of of faith. Build into our vocabulary. Yeah. The truth.
Yes.
That's right.
Maybe not the fact from yesterday, but the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
That I am righteous. Yes. And that I am born into a kingdom of peace.
Glory to God.
And joy in the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And that's more than just perspective, and it's more than just positive affirmation. Like you said, these words have power. They release God's yeah. power.
I look at peace and joy as the fruit. This is yeah. like the result of
that's right.
Of all what you are talking about.
And they are
Galatians also yeah, looks Galatians at them as fruit.
Yeah, it says peace and joy are fruits of the Spirit. And fruits, actually, they are results of something that have been sown.
That's right.
As a tree.
Oh, that's really good.
So how does the fruit come? When? And they are fruits of the Spirit. So when I receive the Spirit and the Spirit is in me and it grows and it brings forth fruit. And when there is fruit in a tree, you cannot hide it. Everyone will see it. Not just whoever comes. Everyone, it will be visible to everyone. They will see the fruit. If you pass by and say, oh, this mango tree, it has fruits in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's visible for everyone. So the fruits of the Spirit, when they are like in work in our life, everyone can see them. Everyone can see the love. Everyone can see the kindness, the gentleness, the love, the joy, the peace. Everyone can see. Like everyone can tell the joy of Antoine.
That's right. So we talked last week in our grow groups about Romans chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And right there in the beginning of Romans chapter 5, it says we have peace with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus, he said, it's my peace that I'm leaving with you. My peace I'm giving to you. Peace is a essential quality of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm bringing this up because I want to tie it back into what we talked about last month when we talked about in Christ.
Yeah.
Because we find people sometimes living in crisis.
Yeah.
And there's, I think, two aspects here. One is an understanding of what peace is,
yeah,
and then seeing it through Scripture.
Yeah.
And obviously, we want to try to make it practical.
Yeah, it's not treated as a feeling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's look at, in fact, on that point, let's look back at Romans. You know, our key scripture is Romans 14, but let's look at Romans 15. Yeah, chapter 15, verse 13. How does that read in your translation?
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Can I add, may overflow in my translation. I love the word overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. Now, we're talking about quite a few things here, right? There's hope in this verse. There's believing or faith in this verse.
And then joy
and peace.
Yeah.
So, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I want to point this out, you were talking about faith, right? You know what you were talking about, the words of faith.
Yeah.
I can school myself into the place of believing that righteousness is my identity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where peace and joy become critical. And really, they need to get our attention is they are indicators of our faith.
Yeah.
So one thing I try to remind myself about this all the time, I say this to me, Matt, you can't be in faith about something that you're frustrated about. If you talked about worry. No matter how you dress up worry, if you dress up worry in prayer clothes or you dress up worry in, I just need to talk to my friend and just talk out what's happening.
It's not our identity.
No matter what clothes you put on worry, what is that? It's showing that my peace gauge is off.
Yes. Yeah.
And that peace gauge is off. That's telling me I'm not believing.
It's a constant state. The peace and joy are everlasting. They are like the movement. The overflow is as such. And it's not like a state of compared to this happiness, worrying, ups and downs.
Yeah.
No. These all, they vanish or momentary. What remains is the joy of the Lord, this everlasting thing.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about faith. And in Go Church, we talk a lot about faith. The Bible talks a lot about faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. Why? Because we're called to live in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And we walk not by sight, but by faith.
That's right.
I would say it this way. The purpose of getting really skillful at exercising faith is so that we can walk in the fullness of who God's called us to be in his kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
Walk in the fullness of who Christ is in us, who he's made us to be in him. And right in the center of the dashboard of our life is this peace indicator.
Yeah.
And this is what we are trying to pursue.
We need to look at how am I doing?
Yeah.
And if I'm not doing so good in the peace department, then let Jesus stand up in the middle of the storm like he did in the Gospel of Mark and say, peace, be still. Because we are called to live in peace, not in turmoil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, mostly, like, to make it practical, to rely to some earthly examples, peace is related always to trust.
That's right.
So if I trust someone and I say to them, like, to do this thing for me, I'll be in peace. And as well, it's related to identity.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have like a strong, for example, Roy gave an example of his wife. She had the German passport. When they went to the airport and there's any issue, Roy will be like, I'm not gonna speak, but his wife will be very peaceful and bold to speak because she have rights because of her identity, the identity that she carries.
Yeah.
So peace is always related to trust and identity. So if I know my identity in Christ and I put my trust in God and I put my trust that the work that Jesus has done on the cross was enough, I'll be walking in the full measure of peace.
And we talked about that in John chapter 8 last week. You see, Jesus is in peace while there's pressure all around.
Yeah.
So pressure does not mean that I have to be out of peace.
Yeah.
because peace is not the description of how I feel or the natural circumstances, but it is a characteristic of the kingdom that I have been transferred into.
Talking about the kingdom. So we had like a few months ago a war in Lebanon. I was at peace. Do I look like awkward to this whoever surrounding me in this society? Yes, I do, because I know where I stand in the kingdom of God. I am at peace.
Yeah.
Whatever is happening, I know who is protecting me, because I am walking by faith with him.
Yeah.
He is my shield. He is my shepherd. He leads me, and I know where I stand. So that's why I was so feeling calm, serenity, and prosperity came while I was in my room, in my bedroom, and prosperity came and more work overflow for me. I had the time to spend more time with Jesus during this crisis, the beginning of it. And then as a reward, he bombarded me, not the bombs we were getting. He bombarded me with many connections to work online from home.
Yeah. Which is Matthew 6:33 at work. And so what I would say is this, as we're talking about peace, and especially as we get into the discussions in our grow groups, peace is not the absence of challenge. It is the presence of confidence.
Oh, that's well said.
So rather than saying, okay, well, when everything else quiets down, when this problem is solved, when that problem is solved, when that problem is solved, then I would be at peace. No, peace is the result of the confidence that I have in him and in my standing with
him. Thank you, Lord.
So because of that, I kind of want to take peace a step further, because the English word peace, you know, it can be kind of equated to or defined as just stillness or quiet. But the Bible wasn't written in English, thank God. And it's, you know, if we dig into the Bible words about peace, it's actually it's a covenant word. And God is a covenant-keeping God. He described himself as one who keeps covenant. So he's a covenant-keeping God, and peace is a covenant word. And we won't take the time to dig into it on this broadcast, but I would encourage you to study this.
But it's so simple to compare this everlasting peace to the peace on earth, like where like two countries are in conflict. We have many wars. We had wars, and now they are at peace. For a certain period of time, momentary, and then something again happens, and they are again at war between each other. So this is if I want to compare, okay, next week we are going to talk about joy, but again, the status of happiness compared to this everlasting joy.
Right, that's an important distinction. But in contrast to what may happen on the outside, peace is not limited to just simply the time period in which two nations are not fighting each other. The Bible word for peace literally means there is nothing missing and there is nothing broken.
Wow.
Now,
this becomes a right for us. Our right in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, in a natural state, we say two nations, use that, two nations, or even two people fighting at each other, and then they find peace. But there's injury between the two of them.
Yeah.
There's loss.
Mm-hmm.
The peace of God eliminates what was lost and restores what was broken.
Glory to God.
So Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation.
Yeah.
So don't worry. Because in me you have peace.
Yes.
Glory to God.
And what does that peace do? It removes it replaces or replenishes, that's a Bible word, it replenishes what was lost and restores and
or recovers. Stolen even from us.
Yeah. 100%. And I believe, like, I'm just seeing it in my head, the peace of God enabled the Apostle Paul to say, I have learned to be content in all situations.
In all situations.
No matter what will happen, I'm okay. I'm doing okay because the peace of God is in me.
If you could see where Paul wrote
in
those
prison,
words.
In prison, say he says.
No, I mean, not just in prison. If you could see that prison at that time and you hear Paul say that, you know, if you're one of the guys working with Paul, you're like, really?
You want to change this before we send them?
Exactly. But to be to live at peace requires some action on our part.
Yeah.
Right. So yes. In the same way, to benefit from the righteousness that Christ provided.
Yeah.
I have to act. You talked about it beautifully. I have to put words in my mouth and start claiming that as my identity and see myself the way he sees me. Peace is from God. It is a characteristic of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
God is not like right now on the throne, worried, reading the headlines. You know, did you see this? Gabriel, come here. Look at this. Look what they're doing.
Yeah.
He is, the kingdom of God is at peace. Nothing is missing.
Yeah.
Nothing is broken. So it's not the absence of challenge, but it is the presence
confidence.
Of confidence. Oh, and that confidence is in the victory that Christ won.
Yes.
So then, how then should we act? Let's look at Philippians.
Philippians 4.
Yeah. We'll go a little past the verse that Ilya quoted. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 is it's a little bit before where we need to read, but verse 4.
Rejoice
in the Lord always.
You are jumping ahead.
Again, I'll say rejoice. And but verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Mm. One translation says,
do not be anxious about anything.
One translation literally says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yeah, can I give a testimony?
Yes.
While you said, like, pray in any situation. So sometimes you lose something. It's a loss.
Yeah.
But the thing is, act on, because I know where I am. Okay? So I pray. I said, thank you, Lord. Mm. Directly. I was losing something. If someone was hearing me, what was my reaction? This guy is insane. How is he's losing? How he is thanking the Lord about losing? Because the Lord is preparing something really bigger for me.
Hmm.
And he knows the timing exactly, and it happened. So actually, he removed something and he replaced it with something else. As far as I'm talking about work, something else with less time, so less time consumption, better paid, and more relaxing.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So because, but I admit it, but the more you go towards devil's thoughts about you are losing, but you are a child of God, how come you are losing? You are supposed to be victorious. Those thoughts. No, so I rebuke the devil. It's not, he knows. He is putting me just a temporary phase, removing things and to replace it with better things.
Yeah.
Well. It's, you know, and in that you kind of see the folly of worry, right? Because if you're confident that your Father cares for you, you're confident that you're in covenant with God and He sees you without a single fault.
Don't think about tomorrow anymore.
Then,
it was always in constant like progress, growth.
Yeah. The folly of worry, Jesus said, you know, You don't see people trying to make themselves taller by thinking. You don't see people trying to grow hair by thinking. But that's what worry looks like.
Yeah.
It's wasted motion.
Yeah.
And it is ignoring the true victory and answer that we have in Him.
Yeah.
So verse 7 of chapter 4 is positioned as the result of verse 6. Yeah. So verse 6, don't worry about anything. pray about everything. Mm-hmm. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yes. Now, I mean, Antoine, you just said if someone was watching you, they would say, you know, that's crazy.
Yes.
It's because this goes beyond comprehension.
Yes, it goes beyond comprehension.
But he says here, the peace of God will do what? The peace of God is not merely a characteristic or an adjective about the environment of heaven. But here, the peace of God has a job.
Yeah, will guard your heart.
Will guard your heart and your mind
in
Christ Jesus.
Setting us free.
That word, guard your heart, that's the same way in the way this is written in the original language. That's, and one translation brings this out. The peace of God will set up a fortress of soldiers around your heart and around your mind to keep you safe. So I don't need to worry.
Yeah.
Surely.
I let my request be made known unto God. And the result of that is the peace of God goes to work. Hmm. And the peace of God is doing one job. It's protecting me between amen, between the time I say amen in my prayer and the time what I prayed for, what I need shows up.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a life changer for an individual in society, changing nation after.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's why one individual in line with all this can change a whole nation by acting.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, peace as well can be shown in actions and reactions. Mm-hmm. So like, as you said, Pastor Matt, that the peace of God will guard my heart and my mind between the time where I say amen and what I have requested become like physically available or like seen and known. And this like bring us back into, for example, Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, if you like anything that you pray for, believe that you have received it. And how I can show an act of believing that I have received it? I thank God for it.
Yeah.
I act like it is there. Mm-hmm. So how my peace is being shown? By thanking God for it, by acting that what I have asked God for is done for me.
Yeah.
As we all say, act like the Bible is true.
Yeah, move into that place of expectancy.
Yeah.
And the peace of God sets up that fortress around me.
Yeah.
So how do I stay inside that fortress? How do I stay inside this place of peace? Mm-hmm. Verse 8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good repute or report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things.
Yes.
If I want verse 7, the peace of God as my fortress, I need to do verse 6.
Yeah.
If I want to stay in verse 7, I need to do verse 8. And doing verse 8 is all in my control.
Yeah.
If you think about it, there are a lot of things in life we can't control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You leave your house and then the traffic is just crazy because something, there was an accident or whatever. And you really can't control that too much.
Yeah.
But you have 100% control
of the reaction.
And of what you think about.
That's right. That's right.
You have control of what you think about. You have control of what you say. And he says, what we think about. Not even what we say out loud.
Yeah.
He says what we think about should be first true. Mm-hmm. It should be honorable. Mm. It should be right. It should be pure. It should be lovely. It should be of a good report.
Yeah.
Now, one one like measure, I like to do this to myself. If I sneak up on myself when I'm thinking about something, does this measure verse 8 here?
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking about, is that true? Mm-hmm. Is it right? Is it lovely?
Yeah.
Does it bring honor to others? Does it bring honor to God?
Yeah.
And each of these paths, or we did a series some time ago called Trails of Thought.
Yeah.
If each of these different trails of thought, they will lead somewhere. Yeah. And it, only these stay inside that fortress of peace.
Yes. Yeah. Whenever we go.
Yeah. And I believe Pastor Matthew said, like, if you, in order to have verse 7, I have to do verse 6. And to stay in verse 7, I need to do verse 8. And as you said, like, I don't even need to speak or like things that have been shown. It's only what I think about. So I think the physical evidence for the three verses, 6, 7, and 8, is verse 4. By rejoicing in the Lord always.
That's exactly right.
And he said, like, I like what Troy said once in healing school. He said, if the Holy Spirit put or repeat the same thing, that means there's something about it.
That's exactly
and
right.
And he would say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Yeah.
So there is something about rejoicing. And I remember as well, Pastor Sam in the camp meeting, he said, prayer gets answer. Praise gets victory.
Yes.
So praise is rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
So victory is when I rejoice. Victory is mine, because victory is mine because of what Jesus did. So how I keep victory in front of my eyes, I rejoice of what Jesus has done on the cross.
Yes. Praise God.
And victory will be in front of my eyes. I will walk in the fullness of
it. Yeah.
I don't stay on the cross. I remember what Jesus has done, and I rejoice of it. And rejoicing there, take me into the throne of God.
That's exactly
take me
right.
into the kingdom of God. Yes.
That's exactly right. And so the point of practice here is this can't be something that we just do at church events.
Mm. Yeah.
This has to be not simply something that we talk about in our grow group. It's got to be how I think.
Yeah, a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle, and that flows out of how I see myself, that revelation of righteousness, and then what I think about.
That's right.
What I think about is going to determine, really, how I react to things and where I'm going. One way to consider this is the thing that you think about, your predominant thoughts, is like your focal point when you're driving. Mm. So if you're driving a car and you are looking like for some business over on the side of the road, on the left side of the road, if you notice, what's happening is your car is drifting left.
Yeah.
You're not trying to drive in England and drive over on the wrong side of the road, but your whole self
is moving.
Will start moving in the direction you're looking.
Yeah, your focus is
where you're focused. Also discipline ourselves to stay.
And so disciplining our thought life is essential to seeing the peace of God do its work.
Yeah.
And its work is to set up that garrison.
Actually, this is one of the prayers I do in the morning. So I ask always, I thank the Lord for the beautiful day. And I ask Him to keep me in line with Him, to sustain me, to maintain myself as far as behavior, thoughts, and everything, to just act like the way He wants me to do the things of the day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
And whenever I miss that prayer, sometimes it happens. Actually, the results are not good, huh? Just giving it as an example.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can experience peace in our life by simply disciplining our thought life.
Yeah.
because, as we said, we're talking about walking in and resting in confidence in who He is, who we are in Him, who He is in us.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And this is, I believe, like, will leave us and will leave the Go Church family and this week in our grow groups, like, in a challenge to, like, align our thought with what God has, like, what does God say about me? What the, and just knowing this truth will guide me into the place of peace.
Yeah, because...
to stay there and, like, align myself, align my thought with the way God thinks. So think about what God thinks. And this will lead me into the place of peace. And as the Bible says, like, renewing our mind with the Word of God. Because when I renew my mind and my mind is aligned with the mind of God is the mind of peace. And as you said, like, when God created the world in Genesis, it didn't say, oh, there's darkness. What should we do now? It was just in peace. He said, light be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't confused. He wasn't in trouble. He was just speaking and saying in the full measure of peace, light be. Yeah. This is it.
And our hope is that the whole Go Church family is established in this truth and does that same thing like our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
We might look at a situation in our home, situation in our family, a situation in our nation, and from the outside it looks dark.
Yeah.
But from a place of confidence, that place of peace, we say, change.
Yeah. Amen.
Please change. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, the grow group discussion, I think, will be very practical.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's a challenge because this deals with where everybody lives.
That's
this is something that only I can, only I can address, only I can do. Can't do it for you.
Yeah. No.
I wish we could. but I want you to know that these truths will work for you.
That's right.
These are not for some just select few.
That's right.
These truths are for you.
That's right.
Because, and this is kingdom living.
Yes.
This is living in the kingdom of God.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And as Pastor Matt always say, if you have made it this far in your day and no one else has told you yet today, we want you to know that
we love you.
We're praying for you.
God bless you.